With 8 confirmed cases now of anthrax infection and thousands of samples being analyzed, the once obscure science of anthrax detection is suddenly high profile. So far, public health experts have been pretty successful at analyzing samples and figuring out which of those white powders are truly dangerous. But the process becomes more challenging when they're testing major public buildings, like the halls of Congress. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
Anthrax experts say with a simple microscope, they can easily tell the difference between this deadly bacterium and other garden variety microbes. But most say you need something better than your eyes to get a positive ID. Former Defense Department researcher Kurt Klimpel says the next level up in terms of reliability is a simple test that works like a home pregnancy kit.
Where you have antibodies embedded on a strip, you expose that strip to a liquid that has what you're trying to detect. In the case of a pregnancy test, it's a protein hormone. In the case of anthrax detection, it's the spores itself.
These strips are pretty cheap and easy to use. Lots of emergency workers have them, but they may not be accurate enough. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sent out an alert yesterday saying some of these strips might not change color if exposed to lower levels of anthrax, but there could still be enough of the bacterium around to pose a health risk. A more dependable process relies on the polymerase chain reaction, or PCR. It's so sensitive, it can detect the DNA in a single spore of anthrax. But PCR requires some expertise. Columbia University professor Stephen Moore says technicians have to be careful that the devices don't get contaminated by the first sample they analyze.
It has to be done under very careful conditions to make sure, for that matter, when people are doing the sample preparation, that they don't accidentally get a little bit of one sample that might have a positive result in another, because it's very easy with the great sensitivity of PCR for cross-contamination to happen and give you a false positive result.
That's one reason why lab people like to use two different techniques on each sample. Moore says you have to take each sample to a lab, culture it, and see if it'll grow.
The gold standard is culture. Culture is a very reliable method. It gives you a lot of very good information. The disadvantage, of course, is that it's a slow method.
Making the anthrax spores grow can take a good 24 hours. Until now, the public health system has never really had to worry about testing large buildings or about coming up with quicker tests, but the military has. Kurt Klimpel says that in the Gulf War, military vehicles were outfitted with collectors that swept the air for harmful agents.
And they had them mounted on the Fox vehicles that constantly monitored the air. They'd pull through 100 cubic meters a minute, and every 2 or 3 minutes they'd take a sample out of that and test it for the presence of either chemical or biological threats.
But military detection schemes are not designed to be 100% reliable. They're mostly intended to warn troops when they might need to don protective gear, not when to tell civilians they should leave a building or start taking antibiotics. Some anthrax specialists think the United States must develop the anthrax equivalent of a smoke detector, but not everyone thinks this is needed. Professor Ron Atlas of the University of Louisville says the lab tests we have are working fine.
On a daily basis, physicians, clinicians, the public health system detects and carries out surveillance for infectious disease-causing agents, and that really is where the system has worked and I think will continue to work.
Nevertheless, some companies are planning to sell home anthrax test kits before the holidays. A strange Christmas present, perhaps, and one that many experts think will just raise public fears about a health problem that's still under control. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.